the two simple things are, one, if Trump is innocent and he's not implicated in anything, my God, does he act like the most guilty guy in the freaking world? Holy Jesus Christ, from getting the FBI to redact stuff, to initially making a big deal about it, and then, you know, wanting to retreat from all of it, to some of the statements that he's made about women that have worked for him that went on to work for Epstein, and from the lies that he's told about signing a birthday card and not having signed a birthday card. Like, if he's innocent, he's like the most guilty innocent man in the universe of all guilty innocent people. You say note card, she had a binder, right? It was a binder with every single person who was going to ask her questions, with like some brown person's face that was probably AI generated, with some list of charges that she could try to rake these people over the coals on. Like, she was the one asking questions at this hearing. Did you watch any of Jack Smith's testimony? These people are not the same. It's not even level of decorum, of preparedness, of ability to confront and answer questions. When you compare just the caliber of these people, I go back a lot to that. When they wanted to bring Hillary Clinton to do testimony over Benghazi, 11 hours of public testimony she gave on this. Meanwhile, if you've even seen Trump before, they're invoking executive privilege. They're doing the fifth. Go look at Charlie Kirk. Go look at Nick Fuentes, the testimony that they gave to the J6 committee. They don't answer any questions about anything.
And you have people like Pierce and people on the right that are attacking AOC for having a 10-second blunder. And yet you have Donald Trump, but, you know, I don't have to tell you this, with the blunders and the lies. And Pierce Morgan's one of those people. Like, he dedicates like 30 minutes yesterday to this. And I'm like, it was a 10-second blunder. What's the big deal here? Your guy every single day, right? I mean, what do you make of this AOC and all the attacks from the right and even people like Pierce Morgan?
I mean, I give him a lot of props for the segment because it was 30 minutes he didn't spend talking about trans women or something. So congratulations, I guess, for that.
Now introducing one of the biggest live streamers on the planet to get a different perspective. Of course, I'm talking about the Destiny himself joining us right now on the program. Destiny, it's great to see you, my friend. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good, Des. Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I have to ask you, the numbers that came out earlier today, the GDP growth, inflation, and of course, the Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs. Trump absolutely losing it this morning in that press conference. What do you make of what's just transpired in the news here over the course of the last 4 or 5 hours?
Man, I woke up this morning. I'm trying to get all my work done, so I haven't looked at any GDP numbers or anything like that. You'd have to fill me on that. The thing that I was digging into was the tariff decision, which I considered to be... very big deal. I was like 10 minutes through Trump's press conference on it, but I mean, that's just him crying about things as always, because that's all he ever does. So I think the Q&A at the end was supposed to be the more interesting part here. I glimpsed through the syllabus for the decision, but it seems like, I mean, what most people kind of thought, the president probably doesn't have the authority to just arbitrarily declare national emergencies and then run a new tax and tariff policy exclusively from the White House, which I think any reasonable person would obviously agree with. And Trump is obviously very upset about that ruling. So yeah,
he's accusing Supreme Court justices of having foreign interests, and that's why they ruled the way they ruled. And then when he was asked about that in the press conference today, he provided, as usual, zero evidence. What do you make about that? He's going after some conservative Supreme Court justices like Barrett. What do you make of that?
I mean, this is what Trump does. This is the game. Is if you're loyal to him, he rewards you, whether that's through the tariff regime, he'll give you a business preferential tariff treatment, or whether that's through other countries, he'll treat you better. And if you're not loyal to him, and by loyal, I mean you sycophantically sign off on every single thing he wants or does, then he will try to crush you or destroy you, whether that's using the DOJ, whether that's using political pressure, whether it's saying or tweeting mean things about you. I mean, it's like the least surprising thing ever, you know? So,
and the argument that you hear, of course, and I hear every day from the right on these tariffs, right, is that in the long run, it's the long game, when you and I both know well, it's the American consumer that has to bear the 95% of this. What are you hearing from the right? What is their defense and their continued argument when it comes to these ridiculous tariffs?
Nothing. From my perspective, as somebody who does a lot of debate online and who's been doing a lot of debate, I find that most people just won't defend any of it. You get a lot more of the, well, I'm not a total Trump supporter. I don't support everything, single thing he does, even though they kind of did in the beginning. Now it's a lot harder to defend. You know, the second go around with Trump has been so much more ridiculous than the first. I don't think there are very many serious people that are left trying to defend everything he does. The explanations will border on the insane. They're mutually exclusive. You know, like, we're tariffing people to get good deals, but we also don't want deals because we just want to do everything locally. Like, I don't even know what the point is of any of it anymore. It's all kind of goofy and silly. And then, like you said before, like, any of these individual things he's doing should be groundbreaking, like huge news stories that should last for months. The idea that the president of the United States is making accusations that our Supreme Court is being, you know, intruded upon by foreign entities. But that's just another day in Trump town, another accusation, again, with absolutely no evidence to undermine our systems. And yeah, it is what it is. It's what I've come to expect.
Agree. In regards to the GDP numbers, the fourth quarter was a putrid 1.4%. What are your thoughts on that?
The GDP stuff is hard. We have a lot of AI and crypto stuff. And I think healthcare spending, I think, were the two big categories, I think, that carried it last quarter, I believe. If those things start to slow, obviously, at the very least, our markets are heavily overrepresented right now by a lot of the AI related stuff. So if those industries start to slow, you know, our manufacturing sector has only done worse, believe it or not, since Trump came in. I don't know if there's anything else to buoy the economy, and it might end up turning really ugly really fast. I'm not sure.
I want to read you a headline from Newsmax. And as you know, you couldn't find a network that is more pro-Trump, of course, than Newsmax. This is their headline, Destiny. Underlying U.S. inflation increased more than expected in December, and signs are pointing to a further acceleration in January, which would strengthen expectations that the Federal Reserve would not cut interest rates before June. That is a headline on Newsmax. Does that surprise you that Newsmax is even disagreeing with this administration? Because that almost never happens under any circumstance.
I would have to read the article or go back and look at this, because I don't know where the narratives are at right now. Sometimes when Trump is willing to make some concessions on the economy, it looks like maybe people are being a little bit more honest, but oftentimes it's just done. Like in the past, he would do this just to apply really heavy pressure to the Federal Reserve. So when he would say things like, you know, like the economy might be slowing down or could be doing better, you know, if he's ever making these concessions, usually the next sentence is, that's why the Federal Reserve needs to stop screwing me, and they need to, you know, they need to cut interest rates, and we need to get more money flowing through the economy and everything else. So
let's talk a little bit about Iran, Destiny. So we were told 8 months ago that the Trump administration in this mission obliterated, is the word that they use, their nuclear capabilities. We know Tulsi Gabbard said months earlier that they had no information or reason to believe that they had furthered their nuclear capabilities. Are we supposed to be led to believe now that they just recreated all this in 8 months? Who's lying here, and what do you make of this situation?
Are they saying now that they're trying to go in again because of nuclear stuff, or just because they want...
That's a part of this. Okay. My understanding is that's a part of it. There are multiple reasons why, but that's a part of it.
Yeah, my guess is Netanyahu probably wants regime change. Most of your Gulf states, like Saudi Arabia, probably is good with regime change. I don't know what the fallout is going to be if that actually happens, if we're looking at another Syrian-esque situation where a regime change means the fleeing of millions of people from Iran into neighboring countries. I have no idea what that would look like. I prefer regional stability to instability, and I don't know what a next government would look like. I don't know a lot of the internal conditions of Iran right now, so I don't have a strong opinion about what the country would look like after any kind of intervention. But I know Trump doesn't know either, so yeah.
No, you're right about that, Destiny. Mm-hmm. You're just joining us, Destiny's with us. So you've debated some of the same people that I have. You've probably debated plenty of more, but you know, I did 4.5 hours with Andrew Wilson last week. I wanted to shoot myself.
I'm so sorry. It was
very difficult, as you know, and not difficult because I think he's a great debater. I don't even know what are your opinions on him as a debater, by the way. I never asked you that.
There are a few people who are very good at navigating logic stuffs. And I think that he just does like pure logics stuffs, or at least in my experience, very, very rarely will you ever have a conversation with Andrew Wilson on the substance of anything. He'll usually throw up some term like internal critique, and he'll just spend like the next 2 hours being needlessly pedantic on every single thing you say so that he doesn't have to defend any positions of his own.
Right.
And God forbid, so he doesn't have to get into the substance of anything that he's talking about.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Conversations with him are largely a waste of time. Anytime you find that somebody has a conversation and you come away feeling very unsatisfied, like sometimes you'll see a conversation and be like, ooh, I got brutalized in that. Or like, ooh, that guy like dominated this other guy. But if you come out just thinking like, man, for some reason, this feels very unsatisfactory. You know, you can ask yourself, well, what was settled in this? You know, did they make any progress on any materially substantive topics? Or was it all just like, well, when you said this term, actually, you know, this term could apply to this thing. And if you expand this a little bit more, you'll find that you're inconsistent because in 1852, it was used in this way. And it's like, we didn't even talk about anything, you know? Yeah. And I think Andrew Wilson largely comes from that school of like TikTok style debating.
Completely agree with you, and he has a lot of sicko fans, but I bring him up for this reason because we did get into the Epstein files, and he says there's no evidence. Where's your evidence that Donald Trump committed any crimes in the Epstein files? And I said, my whole point is I think it's reasonable to believe that he could have done some things illegal based on his history, based on the fact he's named over 3,000 times in the Epstein files. But I do find this interesting with these people because I make this point. He wants evidence, and then he bases his whole life on his religion. I said, where's your evidence that Satan exists? Where's your evidence that God exists? Where's your evidence that heaven and hell exist? Pin drops, nothing. So he bases his, and by the way, he's not alone. A lot of people on the right are like this, right, Destiny? They base their entire life on the tooth fairy. I'm sorry if I'm offending people that are religious. I have no problem with people that have faith. That's fine. But don't preach to me about evidence in the Epstein files when your entire life is based on a fairy tale. That's my personal opinion. I don't know sure. how you feel about that.
I mean, I'm very atheist, but I'm not going to do religious debates with people over their political opinions just because that's usually right. a nightmare. The two simple things are, one, if Trump is innocent and he's not implicated in anything, my God, does he act like the most guilty guy in the freaking world? Holy Jesus Christ, from getting the FBI to redact stuff to initially making a big deal about it and then, you know, wanting to retreat from all of it, to some of the statements that he's made about women that have worked for him that went on to work for Epstein, and from the lies that he's told about signing a birthday card and not having signed a birthday card. Like, if he's innocent, he's like the most guilty innocent man in the universe of all guilty innocent people. The second thing is, if it's not such a big deal, why were you guys so obsessed with it and fixated on it and making such a big deal about it running for office? It should be seared into your mind how cringe it was when all those losers were standing with those Pam Bondi binders, you know, the Epstein Files Part 1. I guess that they should just call it the Epstein Files because that was all they were going to actually seriously release. You've seen the DOJ mess up the redaction on some of these filings where they're more interested in redacting, you know, the names of Trump's friends, some of which were already publicly known, than they are with redacting actual victims. Watching Pam Bondi go up and explain, well, you know, if we missed a redaction, just let us know. It's like, that's not how that works, you idiot. Okay? I don't know if we're broadcasting right now, but you're such a stupid thing. You can't leak the face of like a victim of a child sex crime and then say like, oh, right. we'll just go back and undo it. Once that's out there, it's kind of out there, you know, forever. So yeah, right. I mean, like if you're upset or if you're frustrated with the Democrats on the Epstein files, you have no one to blame but yourself. This entire administration hyped these things up like the second coming of Jesus, and then were upset when we rolled away the rock and he was still buried there. Like, Jesus, how can you be mad at anybody but yourself?
What did you make of the Pam Bondi testimony? I thought it was so embarrassing as a nation to see our attorney general act in the way that she did. She was unhinged, and she has these, as you know, these note cards with, because she couldn't memorize the attacks on all the Democrats, didn't answer any question directly, as usual, and she has all these victims that are 20 feet behind her. She wouldn't even turn around and look at them, let alone apologize. At least Kristi Noem turned around and looked at some veterans and how members of their families have been deported. At least she turned around and said, thank you for your service. Pam Bondi didn't do any of that. What did you make of that?
The reason why I didn't like your question earlier to Andrew about like, what's your proof of Satan, is because we all watched that 4-hour Pam Bondi hearing. And I think if you needed proof, you need look no further than her testimony before Congress, because it was demonic. You say note card, she had a binder, right? It was a binder with every single person who was going to ask her questions, with like some brown person's face that was probably AI generated, with some list of charges that she could try to rake these people over the coals on. Like, she was the one asking questions at this hearing. I feel like I've said this a million times over Trump. What can I say? What do you want me to say? It's terrible. It's horrible. Every single thing about this is terrible and horrible, and it's a joke. And yeah, her testimony was insane. Did you watch any of Jack Smith's testimony?
I did. In fact, I watched the first one when it was behind closed doors and it was leaked. I don't know if you remember that. And then, of course, the second one that was public.
These people are not the yeah. same. It's not even the level of decorum, of preparedness, of ability yeah. to confront and answer questions.
Destiny, Jack Smith, sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say quickly, Jack Smith risked everything. His life will never be the same, right? Yeah. When he goes out in public with his family, he risked everything to do what was right and to tell the truth, at least in my, and you're so right. You look at his resume, he's gone after both sides, the left and the right, and you're right. He was extremely prepared. And if he had to try this case tomorrow, I would have 100%, I'd be comfortable with him doing it, right?
Yeah, 100%. When you compare just the caliber of these people, I go back a lot to that. When they wanted to bring Hillary Clinton to do testimony over Benghazi, 11 hours. That's not an exaggeration. Mm-hmm. It's like 11 hours of public testimony she gave on this. Meanwhile, if you've even talked to Trump, if you've even seen Trump before, and anybody's trying to get you to testify at anything, they're invoking executive privilege. They're doing the fifth. Go look at Charlie Kirk. Go look at Nick Fuentes, the testimony that they gave to the J6 committee. You can open the depositions, despite conservatives lying about them being deleted, they're all there, and you can open any of them up, and you can control F, and you can look for Fifth Amendment, and you'll see 50 times, 120 times, like, they don't answer any questions about anything. They make themselves look as guilty as humanly possible, and how are you supposed to feel bad for any of them, you know, whether it's Pam Bondi being unable to answer any questions relating to the Epstein files in front of Congress, whether it's Kristi Noem not knowing what habeas corpus means while she's taking videos of herself in front of cages of brown people. We don't know where any of these people have even been shipped off to sometimes. Sometimes they're citizens that take weeks to get released once a court order's even been issued. The hearing in front of court where one of the prosecutors working in Minnesota was asking the judge to hold her in contempt so she could actually get some sleep for 24 hours for once because of how overloaded all these systems are. It's all just, it's like a big, it's a huge joke. It's like a circus. Yeah. in a place where it's not supposed to be a circus. It's like, imagine like one of the best circuses ever, except it's the team in the OR that's supposed to be doing open heart surgery on you. It's like that's what we're confronted with every single day right now with this administration.
That's a good analogy. I have to bring up AOC with you for a moment because, you know, I know you make plenty of appearances on Pierce. I did Pierce again last week, and he had a very interesting conversation with Mehdi Hasan yesterday, and I have respect Mehdi Hasan a lot. I think he's really good at what he does. And you have people like Pierce and people on the right that are attacking AOC for having a 10-second blunder. They completely ignore the rest of what she had to say, which I agreed with 99%. And yet you have Donald Trump, you know, I don't have to tell you this, with the blunders and the lies and doesn't even know. He thinks you need ID to buy bread. And Jeb Bush got us into the war in Iraq. Listen, I can go on and on with that list. Do you think the reason why MAGA Republicans are attacking AOC is a mixture of a lot of things? I think it's the color of her skin, perhaps, the fact that she's a woman, the fact that she's attractive, the fact that she is a contender, whether people want to say it or not, she is a contender in 2028, not saying she would win. And Pierce Morgan's one of those people. Like, he dedicates like 30 minutes yesterday to this. And I'm like, it was a 10-second blunder. What's the big deal here? Your guy every single day, right? I mean, what do you make of this AOC and all the attacks from the right and even people like Pierce Morgan?
I mean, I give him a lot of props for the segment because it was 30 minutes he didn't spend talking about trans women or something. So congratulations, I guess, for that. It's all just so tiring. Like, I'm not going to sit here and entertain a serious conversation from somebody that supports the orange orangutan. Donald Trump getting in front of anybody and stumbling through everything to criticize AOC for what was a blunder. I mean, it was embarrassing. She should have been more prepared for a question on Taiwan. I don't know if she had a brain fart or anything else. But this is a, what is she, like 35, 36-year-old woman, one of the youngest people, maybe the youngest, I think, when she was elected to Congress. She's done an exceptional amount of PR and social media. She's done an exceptional job being a representative. You know, she went to Munich Security Conference and didn't talk about how the United States was going to betray every single partner on the world stage like Vance and then Rubio did. So, you know, I give her props for participating in the meeting. Yeah, it was a blunder, but oh my God, so inconsequential compared to anything on the daily basis of Trump. If they're so confident, let's see AOC and Donald Trump have a debate on foreign policy. I'd be very curious to see if Trump could even name three countries, you know, in Asia, let alone have like a substantial discussion on what the future for any given region or thing should be. He'd be totally incapable of doing it. But these are not, just to really hammer this point home, these are not serious critiques coming from serious people. There's no world where you look at Donald Trump and then you look at AOC flub a 30-second answer and you're thinking, oh my God, AOC. Like, these are not serious people. And they know they're not serious people. And the reason why they're always on the attack is because they don't want to have to answer for any of Trump's unhinged and unbelievable and insane behavior.
Yeah, very, very true. All right, final question for you. And this is, I guess, more of a personal one too, because I don't know how you do it. What do you do to unwind on the weekends? I know you're a gamer and you still have to follow the news, right? And you have your, you know, you're live streaming all the time. But what do you do to unwind and get away from the craziness and the world that we are living in today?
I play a lot of video games, so I'm just on my little Ark Raiders grind. But I mean, like, I have fun. Like, I have my audience and everything else. You know, we watch the news, we cover stuff, we'll do stuff related to that. But I would say that it's important to remember that for pundits or for people like me, like, we get paid to do it, and we probably have a slightly unnatural inclination towards it. But if you're a person and covering this stuff or watching this stuff, rather, bothers you a lot or it's having a negative impact on your life, yeah, it's good to unplug and, I don't know, watch. What do normal people do? Watch football or go on walks or walk a dog or something. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. Don't follow politics if it's making you miserable actively. It's not good. Not good for you.
When we were in Phoenix, Destiny, and we were doing the UNF America tour, I was asked, who would you like to debate? You know, find somebody, a name that you would like to debate. I didn't know who this guy Rob Noor was, and this will probably be the last time I ever mention his name on the show.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I didn't know who he was, Destiny. Okay, I'll be honest. So I send Rob an email and I say, hey, because a lot of the people at UNF America didn't know who he was either. So I said, hey, can you send me like a resume, right? Can you send me something to tell me who you are? Because I saw he didn't have a very large following. And he didn't send me a resume. He said, well, I was in some debate club or some debate tournament. And he said, and I have this email still, Destiny said that I was a really good debater.
Aww.
And I said to myself, I don't think Destiny would say that about him because I don't think he's very good, but maybe I'm wrong. So I figure I ask you the question right now, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here. Did you say he's a good debater?
It depends on how you're asking that question. It depends on what you mean. Yeah. Depending on the context, like, I would say Andrew Wilson is a good debater and that he's very verbally adept. And if you're not ready, he'll run circles around you. I would say that Rob Noor is a good combination of like Andrew Wilson's verbal skills. And he's also good at, he grapples with enough underlying facts that if you're not super prepared, like, he'll also run circles around you. So he will do, I think he's a better version of Andrew Wilson, funnily enough. He can do substance and conspiracy. And you really have to know the facts of a thing to understand how he's twisting or lying about that. them. But like on the grand scale of like, is he making good, solid arguments with good, solid logic that demonstrates an actual understanding of the underlying facts?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. In the same way that any like a flat earth conspiracy theorist, you know, who's really adept at that can and is good rhetorically, like Rob Noor,
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever. Right. Yeah. I would say he's a good debater, but he's very bad faith. Yeah.
Give it to me. Give me your criticisms of me. I regard you as one of the best around. You're extremely intelligent, very articulate, and really good at what you do. And at times, I probably yell a little bit too much. And at times, I probably use ad hominem attacks when I get frustrated with people. But I want to hear it from you. You've seen me debate a couple times. What are your thoughts? Don't be nice. Don't be nice.
That's a hard one. Usually, the biggest issues for people are when they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So if somebody wants to get like very much like into the mud, and then they end up going to a Harvard debate forum, and they're like screaming at somebody, I'd say, well, that's probably not the appropriate form for that. You might say that you scream or you ad hom or whatever, but like I'm listening
to Alex Stein. Yeah.
Like that was a hilarious conversation. I have very low expectations. I thought it was very funny. There were several times where I was laughing out loud, and I think a lot of the bar was you heard that. So I mean, like, I wouldn't criticize you in those debates saying you should have been more cordial, because that was just the environment or the forum for that. So, and I think usually when I'm seeing you on Peers, I think usually I'm agreeing with most of what you're saying, but that's also like a very particular type of environment where you don't get much time to make a strong point, and you're usually like 3 or 4 to 1, depending on where Peers is at on any topic that they've had a liberal on. So yeah, I think you do generally pretty
well. I appreciate that. Congratulations on the USC thing. You know, I saw that you guys raised a lot of money, which is great. And that's a big kudos to you for being the face of what we're doing. So I appreciate you. And thank you always for coming on, by the way. I know how busy you are. Have a good weekend, my friend. And always appreciate the time when you come on, man. Thanks so much, Destiny.
Cool. Thanks a lot for having me.